And welcome to the midday for Tuesday. I'm Norman Gilliland. With me, the Cat Trio. And you've heard them various times in various places here on Wisconsin Public Radio. They consist of violinist Victoria Gorbich and clarinetist Vladislav Gorbich. That's a husband and wife team, and their pianists over the years have varied and have settled now on Justin Snyder. And welcome all three of the Cat Trio.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Well, if I look at your itinerary here coming up, you guys have gotten really quite busy, and you're going to continue to be busy for the next month or so. Do you think you have a sense of like strategy or an image that you pursue in terms of the places you play and the things you play?
Well, it's interesting. Victoria and I, we have the kind of plan to play in all 50 states.
Oh, really?
So far...
26 so far.
26.
Yeah, so
that's pretty good. You're young still. You've got plenty of time to fill it out. What would be your next state that you would have at the top of your list?
Oh,
New York.
Yeah,
New York?
I probably need to go this way.
Yeah, I think on East Coast we were only in
Vermont and New Hampshire.
You've played in Vermont and New Hampshire.
Lots of states there, so we can.
Yeah, they're so close together. You know, with so many people in them, it's a relatively easy thing to tour. Well, Justin, how long have you been with the Cat Trio? Vlad and Vicky have been at it for some years now.
Yeah, but, a long time. I've joined in August when I moved to Madison from London.
London,
not too long, yeah.
What were you doing in London?
I was doing a second master's degree in piano accompaniment at the Guildhall Music School.
When you say a second master's degree in piano accompaniment, that's two master's degrees in piano accompaniment.
In the exact same degree, right. I did a master's in what they call collaborative piano in America at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. And then I thought, okay, my teacher recommended I go to London. So I said, sure, why not?
Well, so what is the advantage of having two degrees in it, though?
Well, I think the advantage of doing a collaborative degree rather than a solo performance degree. I did a solo performance for my undergrad for 4 years. And then the advantage was that, well, it's a realistic career choice to be working with other people. To work by yourself isn't so realistic, I think. Not all the time. I mean, we end up working with other people anyway. So
sure.
I thought, okay, I can make a little money out of this as well. And then going to London just added... It was just another place to explore and broaden my network.
So has that worked out pretty well so far then?
Oh, yeah. It was the best time of my life.
Is it?
Great experiences. Yeah, culture everywhere. It was just to be immersed in the city of London was
fantastic.
Well,
now the Cat Trio has recorded how many CDs over the past how many years?
Well, over 13. 15 years, we recorded 10 CDs.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, well, and we're still thinking about another one.
Yeah, our repertoire is still expanding, and we have new pieces that we add sometimes, and I think now we have enough for another CD. So
we're ready to record it.
Yeah.
Oh, you are? Maybe. Ready? What's the stuff on the new CD going to be?
Well, I think it was last year we learned a new large piece for us. It's a Carl Minati trio. It was again written for Verder trio. And it's such a beautiful piece. And we love to record it, of course. Then we have a couple new Tchaikovsky romances. One of them we are going to play today. Some ragtime, some small little pieces,
classical
short pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, well, I think it would be fun.
Good. Well, actually, we're going to start by listening to one of your CDs, one of the movements from one of the larger works on one of your CDs. And this is by Aram Khachaturian, the Armenian composer who did write very evocatively Vlad for the clarinet. Am I right there? Some wonderful clarinet stuff from Khachaturian.
Yes, sure. Mostly, symphonic music.
Yeah, right. Well, I was listening to the piano concerto yesterday, for example, and it's got that bass clarinet part there.
Oh,
that's
absolutely
evocative.
Because woodwind instrument is very native for Armenians. And probably that's why he heard always in his mind this music, his Native American melodies, folk melodies.
Native Armenia, America. Well,
yeah.
Close.
Yeah, right.
So I think that's what was the point. And of course, Armenians very, very virtuosic on their woodwind instruments. And that's why the clarinet part is very difficult sometimes in his pieces.
Is that particularly true? This is a trio. And we're going to hear the last movement. Was this particularly true of the last movement?
Yeah, I would say some spots there you need to kind of dig in. And
dig in and get through
working them.
Okay, well, here it is. This is the cat trio. Who is the pianist on this occasion?
I think Vasil Galiulin.
Your original pianist, Vasil Galiulin. He went back to Russia, did he not, to pursue a solo career?
Well, he still plays.
He actually changed his career for several years, but it wasn't connected to music at all. But I think music still attracts. You can't live without music if you started that career. So I think he's
performed with you here more than once, I know, in this very studio. So here's the Cat Trio as it was a few years ago, with the third movement of the Kachaturian, is it just called clarinet trio?
Just trio?
Trio.
Trio. Or violin, clarinet, and piano.
The Cat Trio, as it sounded about 14 years ago, with the final movement, part of a performance of the complete trio for violin, clarinet, and piano by the oh-so-Armenian composer Aram Khachaturian. Boy, you almost felt like you were there in the marketplace or something there. Very evocative of the dance. And
absolutely. Yep. Dances and songs, sure.
And so, let's have at it. You were listening to yourselves from 14 years ago. What did you think?
Well, it's always, you hear different, like now than then. Sometimes you feel that something was very fast. Sometimes it was very slow. So.
And imagine how many times we played the same piece after we recorded.
Yeah.
Sure. So we felt so many times differently.
And yeah.
That's why it evolved, probably. That's why it's very interesting to listen to it and play it over and over.
Yes.
Because you can find anything.
Different things.
Something that you hadn't heard before.
Yes, that's true of any experience, even whether you're, of course, playing it or just hearing it, repeated hearings. It's like, boy, I didn't remember that part in there, or I didn't remember it being so fast or, you know, so colorful. Back with the Cat Trio, Vlad and Vicky Gorbich, their clarinet and violin, respectively, and their relatively new pianist is Justin Snyder. Now, these Hungarian dances by Brahms, they take all different kinds of forms, I think, other than orchestral, and I guess just, piano four hands, violin and piano, pretty common. Mm-hmm. Not so common, clarinet and violin and piano. Is that your work, or does somebody else make that arrangement?
No, we made these arrangements. I think we have two Hungarian dances, right?
In our from original part.
Yeah,
from
great.
The piano
great,
four hands, yes, we made it.
Seems like great stuff that would invite the sound of the clarinet, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That gypsy sound sometimes that comes out.
Yeah. And, they're so fun pieces to play and, I hope, listen to. So we had to make the arrangements for us.
Yeah, we're thinking about arranging other dances also.
Oh, sure. Well, you've got 21 to work with.
Exactly.
So there's plenty of rich territory there. I always thought that number four sounded the most Hungarian, the orchestrated version of it in particular.
Yeah, you're right. It's very
but,
beautiful.
Of course, five is, for whatever reason, by far the most popular, the best known. Six is a wonderful one, too, though, and that would call that maybe right after four and five, one of the justifiably famous of those 21 dances.
When we played dance number five at schools, like for elementary kids or kindergarten, they told us that it actually reminds them like Tom and Jerry, the cartoon.
There's a reason.
Especially like the middle part. And I never thought about that before. And after they told us that, it's really, it reminds us, right? Yeah.
So. Well, the only reason that I'm surprised is that they're still playing Tom and Jerry cartoons. Otherwise, so many of those cartoons that were done in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s and I guess even into the 60s, that way back in the day used to be played before a feature film even, had a lot of classical music in it, for better or worse. I mean, the association, with the Punk Illy's Dance of the Hours, see, what is it, the hippopotami in their bell, and their tutus, and that kind of, the images are irrepressible. Yeah. Sorcerer's Apprentice, you see Mickey Mouse as the apprentice and from Fantasia, and that music really sticks with people throughout their lives. So, as I said, my only surprise is that children are still seeing Tom and Jerry after all these years.
And in Russia, these cartoons got only in the 90s.
Oh, it took them a while to come in.
Quite
new for us.
Close for us, yes.
Well, so if you're out there thinking of Tom and Jerry in the slow section, okay. But other images are welcome, too, as we hear the Hungarian dance number six of Brahms from the Cat Trio. Thank you. Hungarian dances, Brahms never did claim actually to have written those, did he? He just said they were settings of songs or dances, Hungarian dances that he heard who knows where in cafes and various places around Germany, probably.
Yeah.
And Austria.
Austria, mm-hmm.
Sure, not to mention perhaps even Hungary. But wonderfully colorful stuff. Now, about this chamber music series that the Cat Trio has started, tell us about that. takers?
Yes, playing so many years on one side of stage, we decided to try to kind of organize something for our musicians too. And our love of chamber music kind of expanded because we now we can invite so many other groups to perform with us or separately. And bring a lot of our fans and other people to listen to wonderful classical chamber music.
Well, so I see you have one coming in April. And are they all in Fitchburg, or do they take place elsewhere?
They're all taking place in one
place
right now, in Memorial
United Church of
Church
Christ.
Of Christ.
Yeah. In Fitchburg.
In Fitchburg.
And so you have April 26th, you have one coming up. Is that that's the next one, I guess?
Yeah, it's such a beautiful church, and the sanctuary is so nice, especially for chamber music. It's very open and warm, and it's such a pleasure to play there. So we decided why we chose this church, because we played there before, and we thought, well, other musicians has to experience that too, because it's so comfortable to play there. And the setting is like a home concert. So people are very close to the musicians. They talk with each other. I mean, with musicians, they communicate. And the main idea of our chamber series was not just the regular concert where musicians and audience divided by some space between them. But before the concert is a question and answer session, so people could ask any questions they want from the musicians. And then during the concert, we always ask musicians to tell stories about their life, about composers, about music. And so far, we had 3 concerts, and I think people like it.
Well, there's a real trend toward that. There are a lot of ensembles that are getting more into you might say, breaking down the barriers between mm-hmm. the performer and the audience, and in some cases playing in venues that would have been considered unusual, mm-hmm. Not just in concert halls. And for chamber music, it seems particularly like a good idea to play in some of the smaller, more intimate venues, mm-hmm. because that's the way chamber music was meant to be played originally.
Yeah.
Back to the Cat Trio live from our Buck studio here. We've heard a Hungarian dance, and inspired to some extent by the Hungarian dances of Brahms, were the Slavonic dances of Dvorak.
Yeah, it was an interesting story, but after huge success by Brahmsian dances, Dvorak's publisher approached him and said, would you write something like this? And Dvorak was quite young and unknown composer at that time. And he came to about the set of these wonderful Slavonic dances. And many of them are very, very beautiful.
Yeah, so these were really his breakthrough pieces, weren't they, for Dvorak? And again, yeah, this is one of the best known, the first two in particular of that total of 16, and this is Slavonic Dance number 2 by Dvorak. Quite that way. The Slavonic Dance number 2 of Antonin Dvorak. You play, it's understandable, since two of you are from Russia, you play from out of Russian music, and Tchaikovsky provides some of the great melodies, some of them not so well known, though I gather he wrote a fair number of songs that you draw from?
Many romances, of course, and songs. He transcribed several folk melodies, of course, Russian folk melodies, Ukrainian folk melodies, Belarusian folk melodies. And unfortunately for clarinetists, he wrote a huge number of wonderful pieces for symphonic repertoire, clarinet, but nothing for clarinet and fortepiano, or just solo clarinet. Yeah.
So you've taken some of these shorter pieces, romances and songs, and turned them into the stuff of the Cat Trio.
Yeah, we actually take the romances, because they are so beautiful, and the melodies are just wonderful. So, yeah.
And this one is called Does the Day Rain?
День ли царит?
kind of an unusual arrangement. I mean, Justin, you just kind of got to run away with that, didn't you?
Yeah, the ending's
you just
really
took
fun.
Over and never let
yeah,
go.
Yeah, it's fun. Typical Tchaikovsky.
That's why we like his romances, too, because they all have that great piano part that showcased the pianist, so...
Yeah, other than the concertos, we don't think much of Tchaikovsky's piano music, but mm-hmm. in one form or another, there's quite a bit of it.
Mm-hmm.
You, both on your CDs and in your performances, play a fair amount of American folk music, too.
Yeah. Well, growing up in the Soviet Union, we didn't have access to most of American music, so it was when we came first time and heard all these beautiful melodies, it opened for us like another level of music, and we were so happy that we could take some of them and make arrangements and play ourselves. So.
And when we traveled in Russia, we played many times for a Russian audience, mm-hmm. and people enjoyed it a lot too.
So well, it worked both ways, didn't it? There was a lot of 20th century Russian music in particular that was not well known in this country till mm-hmm. late mm-hmm. in the century. What wondrous love is this? This is an Appalachian folk tune.
Yeah.
In 1934, that was a great year for Broadway. The Cat Trio plays a fair number of Broadway tunes, and one of the best is this one from Jerome Kern.
Right.
Roberta. Smoke Gets in Your Eyes from Roberta by Jerome Kern. Well, how about some thunder and lightning to wrap it all up with as we get into this spring weather? You put definitely some of your own touches on that, too. Cute stuff. Thunder and Lightning, a polka by Johann Strauss. Cat Trio played it. They've been in our Buck studio here performing for this edition of The Midday, and they're going to be performing twice in Green Bay tomorrow, and one at Bellevue Retirement Community and then another at First United Methodist Church, and a lot more performances coming our way in various places in Wisconsin for the next couple of months. So you can find out more about them at thecattrio.net. And that's cat with a K, The Cat Trio. Great having you on Midday today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
Vlad and Vicky Gorbich and Justin Snyder.